to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is a great Saturday evening, March 23rd, as I am broadcasting to you live from our flagship radio station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander, the counselor, Keith Alexander the Great, in with me this evening, as always. And I said it was a great day because it truly was. My pride and joy, the light of my life, my daughter turns 3 years old tomorrow, and I can tell you what I was doing 3 years ago tonight, just like it was 5 minutes ago. 3 years old tomorrow, but her birthday party was today, and so let me tell you, friends, all day long today at the Edwards house, we were rocking and a-rolling. We ordered one of those spacewalks, one of those inflatable jumpers, and man, the kids just had a great time. And I can't say it was just the kids, because I was in there rolling around playing goblin and football, and just a great day. Great day with family and friends all over there. And hard to believe that my daughter's going to be three tomorrow. But you probably ask yourself, well, James, what in the world are you doing coming into the show tonight? Well, it was just her party today. And thankfully, as far as my work on the air is concerned tonight, she is only going to be three tomorrow, so she tuckers out around this time, and we've been going strong since 8 this morning. And tomorrow's her birthday, and of course my wife and I are going to be spending the whole day with her. But I'm coming in because I wanted to spend a little time with the rest of my family this evening, those who weren't able to come to the house tonight. And so it's been a reunion day. And now I am here with the audience and with my brother and colleague and comrade-in-arms, Keith Alexander. Keith, how's your week been going?
Week's been fine, James. I tell you, I learn something every week and every day. And I've even learned something, if you can believe it, by watching ESPN's coverage and the major news network's coverage of the March Madness of the NCAA basketball tournament, which I'll share with you a little bit later in the show. But I'm doing great, James, and I'm glad that you had a jubilant day, and many happy returns to Isabel.
Well, thank you for that, my friend. And I know it's been good as far as the NCAA is concerned for you, because your alma mater, Ole Miss, is in the second round. Memphis, the University of Memphis, was dispatched today with prejudice by about 22 points by Michigan State, if anybody's following that kind of stuff. So, you know, I had an uncle. I had an uncle that graduated from University of Memphis. It was Memphis State at the time. And my grandmother, who I loved so dearly, always kept up with them. And so when I was growing up, I kind of was a half-hearted fan of Memphis State because we had a family member graduate from there. And my grandmother followed them and always marked, you know, she had the big wall calendar back in the 80s and would mark off the wins and losses. And so I always kind of rooted for them for their sake. And but now since they're all gone, I always root against Memphis teams. I don't know why. It really is irrational. I guess I don't like the bandwagoneers. Memphis does not support sports teams. But when one of them makes a tournament or the playoffs, you'd think that everybody in Memphis was just, you know, with them from day one. And that's just not the case. So maybe it's the bandwagoneers that I cheer against here in Memphis. But I always root against the home team in when it comes to sports.
Yeah, people, the fans come out of the woodwork when they start to win. But what I've noticed in the news coverage of the tournament and the games, and particularly the upsets, is there is a distinct bias on the part of the mainstream media sportscasters. But it's not what you would think it is. It's not a racial bias. It is a blue state, red state bias. I've noticed that they are always jubilant when a blue state team wins and when a red state team like Ole Miss upsets a team like Wisconsin, which they did earlier in the week. Well, that's ho-hum to them. They're not impressed with that. They never are. And I, you know, started trying to figure out what it is, and I said, it can't be race because, for example, the Ole Miss team has one white starter, four black starters. The Wisconsin team, I think, had four white starters, but it was obvious that they were pulling for Wisconsin. And, you know, initially that kind of baffled me. I said, why are they doing that? You would think, you know, with the support that they give to non-whites that they would be for the non-white team. But it came across like a lightning bolt to me. What they really are, is it's just like the Civil War and the run-up to the Civil War. They own our media. They own our wealth. They own control of our government. The North did back in the antebellum period. Blue State America does today. And it gets down to a level so mundane and ridiculous that when they cover sporting events, that bias seeps through. It's a blue state bias, James. It's incredible. Just listen and see if I'm not right.
I'll have to watch that. I haven't paid that close of attention to it. But there you go, folks. That's your homework. Let's watch the tournament and see if Keith's right or wrong in his assessment there. Well, let me tell you what's coming up for the rest of the show. This evening, we got a big show for you tonight. In the third hour, you know, we're continuing our month-long tribute to our dearly departed brother, Bill Rowland. 3 weeks ago, he passed away, and we did the big tribute show, which, by the way, and I know that Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, is in the studio in Utah tonight, so he's going to hear this. I got feedback from Bill's mother a couple of days ago, Keith, and I hadn't talked to the family since the funeral. And because I wanted to give them their time. But Bill's mother called me and said that they listened to the show and that they were so moved by the program that in all of their opinions, and they said they batted this around between Bill's brother and mother and cousins and other people that tuned in that night. They said what that show meant to them, it was a better tribute than anything they've ever seen for celebrities. They even mentioned the word royalty. They said there couldn't be the death of a royal that would get a better tribute than what we did. And that made me very, very proud. And I wanted to pass that along to the network brass because Sam and his team out there in Utah covered the production for that night. It was a very busy show. A lot of people shuffling in and out as guests, and we had a lot of music. And the family said they would treasure that for the rest of their lives. And that's, you know, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about the praise, but I did want that to mean something to them because he meant so much to us, and it was good to know that it really hit the spot when it needed to be, when they needed to be ministered to. They got that comfort, and so thank you everyone who participated in that. And we're going to continue the tribute to Bill tonight. We've gone back to the beginning of the archives. For the last couple of weeks, we've been playing in the third hour, a month-long tribute to Bill, some of his best interviews. Well, I decided to call an audible tonight. A couple of weeks ago, we listened to a great interview from 2006 with Michael Andrew Grissom. Last week, a great interview that Bill conducted solo with Jim Gilchrist of the Minutemen Project. But tonight, I wanted to fast forward, go to the last time Bill was ever on the show. I was in the hospital that day, Keith. You'll remember I had an appendectomy, and I called Bill about mid-afternoon because I was hoping that I'd be able to make it into the studio that night, but the doctors wouldn't release me, and I was still in a lot of pain. And so I called Bill. And just on the fly, he came in, not expecting to have to work that night, and he came in. You and him sent him for the full 3 hours, Keith, and it was a great show. And that was the last time Bill was ever in the studio. Little did we know it at that time, it would be that way. But that's the way it turned out. His health started to fail him about a month later, and he was just never able to get back in. So we're going to play the last hour of the last show that Bill ever hosted here on the Political Cesspool tonight. It was from October 20th, and it was a good one. We'll be back to kick this show off, though, right after this.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. it is time for you to read the most daring underground publication, Spreading the Word Through Print. It seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back. A lot of announcements there at the top of the show. And in case you're wondering, yes, I am hoarse tonight. This really is me. It's not someone masquerading as James Edwards. It is me with a sore throat from going out there. You know, it's been 70, 80 degrees in Memphis for the last 3 weeks. Spring came early. And then now, though, the temperature dropped nearly to freezing. And so I was outside. My daughter and her friends were bundled up from head to toe. But I was out there, you know, manning it up in a T-shirt. And I'm paying the price now. I've gotten hoarse in a single afternoon out there playing with the kids. On the big birthday party day in my family, and we were talking about Keith's got one eye cut to the NCAA tournament. The celebration of Bill Rowland continues, but I guess we should get to work now, and I'm going to hit you with a jolt, ladies and gentlemen. Our first story of the evening, Texas. It's the city of Austin, specifically. There's a billboard there that urges a Mexican revolt, and you got to see the picture of this, ladies and gentlemen. You can see it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's a picture of a newly posted billboard in Austin, Texas, which was paid for by the city of Austin. In other words, your tax dollars. And it reads, "Rise up, my people." The only thing is, it says it in Spanish. You look at the image on this billboard, and you'll see that it's the corner of Arizona to Laredo, Texas. There is a human heart in the middle that has the Mexican seal in the center. And, of course, we know that the Aztecs used the heart, and this is a demonic symbol of their culture, and for their penchant for pulling out hearts. The rectangular scrolls are also a popular Aztec motif as well, and they are prominent on the billboard. You'll see them in the Mexican architecture and even the pyramids. You see what presumably would be Mexicans with clenched fists in the billboard, "Rise up, my people." Obviously, this is something, Keith, meant to incite a revolt. And so I would ask you, though, to simply imagine a billboard in Mexico, not even in Mexico, the United States, for that matter, that urges European Americans to, quote unquote, rise up. Something tells me that wouldn't fly, not even for a second, here, there, or anywhere else. But in the state of Texas, the city of Austin, in Spanish, no less, "Rise up, my people," a beating heart with the Mexican flag, a bunch of people looks like they're about ready to revolt and riot, and I don't know if there's another media outlet in the country. Maybe there is. I haven't heard of it. It's certainly not nothing national. except for the political cesspool, that dares to even mention this.
What I want to know, James, is why don't we have one of these billboards for our people? We're the people that need to rise up. We're the people that are downtrodden. Hispanic illegal immigrants, along with blacks, along with everyone else, Asians, everybody, homosexuals, except for what Paul Craig Roberts called WHAMs, white heterosexual able-bodied males, are lifted up and privileged, and the beneficiaries of racial and ethnic discrimination in America by law. We're the downtrodden, downcast people. We're the ones that need to rise up. In fact, really all we need to do is wake up. And if this doesn't waken you, then you are in a coma. This is what is happening to America. And furthermore, I think it's very important to note, as James did, that this is being sponsored by the elites, by the government of Austin, Texas, by this governmental managerial class that Sam Francis used to rail against all the time. These are the people that have basically decided that out of all of the people in the whole rainbow coalition of the world, the people that they want to hate, they want to displace, and they want to drive down are white Gentiles that are a little bit poorer, maybe one rung down the social status ladder from themselves, rather than all the dysfunctional minorities that, you know, I just listed that exist. And because those people are being pushed to the front of the line, America is in a tailspin. We're going down. I was reading an article about the municipal school district, suburban municipal school district battle that's going on in Memphis and Shelby County now, and they spotlighted the judge and said he was the last of his class at White Station High School that lived in an isolated or attended an isolated school. In other words, this was right before busing resulted in full, real integration racially of the schools. And quite frankly, I remember that because I was in that type of class too, and for, you know, in about the same time frame. And Memphis specifically and America generally has been in a constant state of decline ever since. This is just, you know, and this now they're taking the wraps off. They're showing us exactly what they have in store for us. And if this doesn't waken you, if this doesn't snap you out of your coma, then heaven help us all, James.
You know, there's all this talk about white privilege. You know, we should feel guilty because we're privileged. But if you want to know who the deck is stacked against, you need to look to see who is completely supported by the government and the media. I mean, certainly whites aren't the beneficiaries of racist practices like affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides. The non-whites are, in hiring and scholarships, etc. Whites aren't glorified in the media as the greatest thing since sliced bread. The homosexuals are. So, you know, we're to be told that these are the people, blacks, Hispanics, homosexuals, these are the ones that are getting the short end of the stick here in America, but they have the full weight of the federal government and the media at their disposal as their enablers. I mean, come on, at local government, you got it. So, but a billboard on American soil encouraging illegal aliens to rise up and do what? I mean, that's the thing. Of course, it doesn't tell them that, but you can use your imagination and see where it goes. It's a very militant billboard. And, you know, so, but where's the outcry? You know, what, again, Keith, this show, as polished and as professional as this show is, and the good work that it's done, and as professionally as we try to present the issues in a polite but direct way, look at how we get shouted down in the media. I mean, what we do and what we say and what we're about is very tame compared to a venomous billboard such as that. And then, you know, do a compare and contrast of the reaction we get versus that billboard. And it's, well, it's typical.
Well, you don't need to go any further than to stay tuned for the second hour of tonight's show. You're going to find out what happens to an individual that dares to speak out and ask white Southern males need to have a seat at the table at the councils of the Republican Party and see what happens to them. Meanwhile, everybody from homosexuals to Hispanics to blacks, every group that never has and never will vote for the Republican Party is being courted like the homecoming queen to join in and be part and be promoted to the head of the line in the Republican Party. The people that actually go out there and cast votes for them, their core constituency, are pariahs. Now, this is, you know, this is Orwellian. This is, you know, absolutely a world turned upside down. And this is what we're living in. Now, of course, there was a little nascent secession movement. Remember when all of the secession petitions were sent up to the Department of Justice and Obama commented on it? Well, of course, they were put down when they came from people like us, but apparently the elites are encouraging Hispanics to take over the Southwest United States and secede from the Union. That's all I can draw from this billboard, James.
Well, I know, Keith, we're coming up on a break here very shortly, but I appreciate you mentioning in passing what's coming up in the second hour. Got this guy that made national news at CPAC, national news, an overnight media sensation. You're going to hear his story in the second hour, but much more to come first. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Yeah. We've been working hard, babe, to
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. By the way, more good news tonight. This has been one of the feel-good shows, but my old sparring partner, Roland Martin, has been fired by CNN. And in typical blowfish and blowhard fashion, on the way out the door, he's harping, "Ain't nobody gonna shut me up. Ain't nobody gonna take my voice away." Well, CNN just did, and so people remember Roland Martin. A handful of the times when I was on CNN, he was on there as my counterpart, and he was colorful, to say the least. And so he is, but he continued to jab with us after the fact. I mean, I never talked about him much, but he would go on his website and, you know, say this, that, and the other about me. Well, he's gone. So we've outlasted another one, Keith. You know, of all these so-called establishment media figures that have, you know, talked about us in very unpolite terms, Keith Olbermann, Roland Martin, and others, they're out of work and we're still here. I guess the difference is they were paid for it, whereas we're volunteers, but we're still on the air, and at least as far as their television careers are concerned, they're not.
I was about to mention that, you know, he may be gone, but he made about $1 million or so during his run with CNN. And, of course, we're up here scraping along on nickels and dimes. But on the other hand, we do this out of love for the truth. And quite frankly, people like Roland Martin, just like his hero, Martin Luther King, wouldn't lift a finger unless they were being paid a princely sum to do it. Martin Luther King and Roland Martin were paid by the same people. I'll let you guess who they are. But nonetheless, Roland Martin, he'll be replaced with another equally offensive race baiter, I'm sure, sometime in the near future. The cast changes, but the play stays the same.
Amen to that, Brother Keith. And mentioning that, we are volunteers, and we are in the middle of our fundraising drive. I might have spoken too soon. Last week, I had a short sigh of relief because we had a nice, strong week of contributions, and then all of a sudden this week has been quite slow. So folks, we need to rally and finish out the month strong. We have some great incentives for those who contribute between now and March 31st. Of course, Roland Martin wouldn't have to ask that because he's making, you know, seven figures to do his work, whereas, as Keith mentioned, we're not. Keith, California State University. I was wondering why you went out to California last a couple days ago. I know what you were out there for now. The slut walk was held. Their words, not mine. California State University students are held a slut walk to mark International Women's Day. And slut, Keith, in case you didn't know, if you're not progressive enough, slut is now a term of endearment. It used to be something you wouldn't want to be, but now we've progressed to the point where being slut is something you certainly desire to be. So here's the story. If not for the dirty looks she would draw, and this is a story out of the local newspaper there in Monterey, California, Deandra Espinoza would don every day what she wore for slut walk on Friday, tiny shorts, above-the-knee stockings, and a type of clothing good girls don't put on. "I feel very comfortable because I know what people are thinking, but this is my style," the 19-year-old human communications major said. What's a human communications degree get you? But she said that, or the story reads that Espinoza, and we got a picture of her on the website. It's PG-rated, folks. About 50 other California State University students participated in the college annual Slut Walk, an event celebrated throughout the world on International Women's Day to speak up against rape. Okay, you figured that out. The term slut has been used for centuries to denote promiscuous women or those of dubious morals, but California State University students want to regain the word. "I'm proud to be a slut. I'm not dressing up to make you feel good," said Kara Gersh, a 19-year-old student. "I dress like this to empower myself." So, Keith, there you have it. Being a slut is something that empowers you. They're proud to be sluts. But it wasn't just women out there during the slut walk. Jamel Thomas, a 19-year-old student, put on silver high heels to show his support for the ladies. "I've always been an advocate for women's rights," he said. "Where I stand, you should be able to wear what you want I'm in high heels today because I'm putting myself in her shoes. It shows me what they have to go through to gain equality. So in order to gain equality, they have to wear high. I mean, look, what does that mean? Only modern day college students could possibly be this stupid. I have never seen anyone more dumb than kids that are in college in this day and age. Proud to be a slut. They're taking the word back. It's something that empowers them. And then guys out there wearing high heels, so because they are advocates for women's rights, with the right to be what? A slut. And by walking in high heels, it shows them what women had to go through to gain equality. Keith, come on. Is this how it was when you were in college?
What would our ancestors think of 21st century America or 21st century Europe or 21st century Australia and New Zealand? They would think these people were absolutely crazy. You know, I've been asked again to give a presentation to a group about the real causes of the Civil War. And the point that I make primarily is that all modern histories and all modern movie depictions that touch upon the Civil War are done with one thing in mind, which is to convince audiences that their ancestors thought like modern liberals. And of course, this is the big lie of all big lies. None of our ancestors could even imagine thinking like a modern liberal on issues like race or homosexuality. And this is another example. Could they imagine women wanting to advertise themselves as sluts? This is showing you this shows you what cultural Marxism is capable of. It is basically psychological conditioning. Once they demonize the past and the good common sense that prevailed at an earlier time, it leaves the vacuum and they fill it with this counterintuitive baloney. What type of woman who has any self-regard or self-respect would want to be considered a slut? Do they know how sluts end up? Maybe with their throats cut, impoverished, poxed, as they used to say, or diseased. But that's what you're supposed to believe in now. That's what women are supposed to aspire to be. I'm telling you, man, the truth is stranger than fiction.
Quick word from our friends, and this was just passed along to me through my ear by our producer. Tonight, one night only, back at the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org, for anyone who's listening on the internet tonight, you can go and be part of a online chat. You know, we used to do these every week. It used to be something we did quite often for a while, where tonight it's back for one night only at cfcc.org. So if you're listening around the country and you're driving around, it might not do you any good, but if you're listening on the internet, I encourage you right now to go and chat with other folks who are listening to the program this evening and be part of the community over there at cofcc.org, cfcc.org, the Political Cesspool online chat, back tonight, one night only. We want to thank our friends and partners over there for putting it on this evening, and I think they're excited, as we are, Keith, about the second hour and our guest, Scott Terry, who made national news. Chris Matthews was talking about it on MSNBC, Martin Bashir. Google Scott Terry CPAC and you'll see that this was a story that was seemingly omnipresent. And what did he do? He went in at the big CPAC conference near Washington last week, and in a panel, he asked, of course, the panelist was talking about everybody that the Republican Party needs to reach out to, and it's, of course, everybody but white people. And the gentleman simply asked, he's a 30-year-old former military veteran, and he said, I hear you reaching out to a lot of people. Do white Southern males still have a place in this party? And you would have thought that he was burning a cross right there in the middle of the auditorium to read the to read the comments. It was a very polite, I've watched the video footage of this, very polite, very well-spoken, decent, rational question. Well, the media just was incensed that he dare ask if white people have a place in the party, because obviously the answer is no. Well, we're going to talk to him about his experience. But first, Keith, and I know we're coming up on a break any second here, so we'll have just enough time to get this story out, and then we'll come back to it in the next segment. You brought in a lot of stories tonight, and one of which has the title, what will America be like when whites are a minority? Well, we could answer that. But give a quick teaser, just a couple of seconds, as to what the author had to say about it, and we'll continue on in the next segment.
Well, I may even tease you further than that. Basically, the reason I brought this was that there are so many instinctively conservative people out there that are hungering for a morsel of nutritious food, but they can't get it through the mainstream media. You have to be very adept at navigating the internet to get it. Well, this is from a group called Daily Ken, and we'll be back with it right after these words from our sponsors. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, real quick, just a quick reminder, CFCC.org, Council of Conservative Citizens, CFCC.org, got the one-night-only live chat for the political cesspool fans. Good to have that back this evening. Want to thank the folks over there for putting it on. If I don't know about it in advance, we would have put it up on the website and sent it out on the email list. But I tell you, people beginning to get in over there, so join the virtual party at cfcc.org. But anyway, Keith, and we got Peter Stanton on the line, and he's going to listen to you provide commentary on this. Then we're going to get his take on it, our weekly contributor and correspondent from the D.C. area. But Keith, the title of the article was What will America be like when whites are a minority? What was this author's take on it?
Well, this author's take represents the type of nutritious food that conservatively minded people are looking for but cannot find in the mainstream media. Let me give you a little sampling of it. The spoiling of white Americans began decades ago with the advent of the welfare culture. Intertwined with civil rights legislation, non-whites have crafted the art of shaking down white people through government processes. White business owners are constantly on guard against discrimination lawsuits, both from employees and customers. Affirmative action programs give non-whites unfair advantages in both education and hiring. It's called social justice. The alarm was sounded 10 years ago with the publication of Shakedown, exposing the real Jesse Jackson. More audacious efforts to judicially scam white people have been attempted, but failed. And then he has another paragraph entitled, What Isn't Working Yet? Then he says, and he tells us about certain lawsuits based on what is called disparate impact. In other words, it doesn't matter whether race is involved in, even in the minds of the so-called evil white perpetrators. If it has a disparate impact on minorities, then it is against the law. And of course, none of this corresponds with the actual language of the 64 Civil Rights Act, which is supposed to be the progenitor of all of this, along with the 14th Amendment. Remember, Martin Luther King said that he wanted his daughters to be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Well, the content of your character amounts to nothing, particularly once blacks and other non-whites are in charge. And here is the mindset to madness subsection. As the white majority diminishes and non-whites build alliances with white leftists, the tide will turn. Such inane lawsuits will eventually be won by the plaintiffs. Legal precedent will be set, and the turn tide will become a tsunami of institutional racism against whites with whites as defendants. When unconscious racism is successfully argued against state governments, it will also be used to shake down white-owned corporations, businesses, and white individuals. Being white will be sufficient evidence. Already embedded in the American psyche is the odd notion that white people are uniquely and innately racist from birth. Most notorious was a 2009 report in Newsweek magazine that revealed whites display measurable racism as early as 9 months old. White people, the prospect of white children maturing into economic security is virtually impossible once white people lose the clout inherent to being a majority. Now, see, there we have elites, white Gentile elites, like the ones in charge of the city government in Austin, Texas, where this offensive billboard has been displayed and is financed with government money, who think they have discovered the secret to navigating the post-white America. They're going to throw you and me and everyone who isn't at the very top of the heap under the bus, and they think they're going to preserve opportunities and red carpet treatment for their children and grandchildren. But they're going to be unpleasantly surprised, just like P.W. Botha was in South Africa. He caved in, gave in to the anti-apartheid movement, and the next thing you know, his wife is killed by a black intruder. But some of these people never learn. This is what the future holds for America, for Europe, for every other place that is unwilling to recognize the normal, natural order of things, which is that every racial group that survives and thrives has a healthy sense of racial solidarity. You lose that, and we are losing it and have lost it, I would say, due to the tender ministrations of the cultural Marxists, their techniques, critical theory, therapeutic state, and whatnot. They've used psychological conditioning to make white people feel guilt about being comparatively privileged compared to blacks, Hispanics, and others. Well, you go into a normal grocery store like I did today, and you see white people, and quite frankly, even here down in Dixie, white people look like wimps. Black people look assertive. They look proud. This is a result of this successful cultural Marxist conditioning. And unless we recapture our natural, normal, innate sense of solidarity and pride in ourselves and in our ancestors, we're going to be doomed, just like the people of the white people of Zimbabwe and the white people of South Africa. We will be sharing their fate in short order, James.
Keith, thank you for that commentary, my friend. And as mentioned, we're running a little bit late tonight, getting on top of things. My fault. Pete Stanton, Scoop, are you with us?
Yep. Good evening, James. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Cecil family.
Well, good to have you phone in tonight with your weekly report. What say you from the district? What are you seeing there?
Well, in response to Keith's eloquent reading, if you look at California, that's what we're going to be looking like. If you look at our major cities, Chicago, Atlanta, Baltimore, Birmingham, Detroit, Camden, Philadelphia, you know, those are minority cities, and the cities are actually falling apart. The crime rate in the hellholes, and the people moving out. People moving out to the Midwest are moving down to Arizona, down to Texas, out to Colorado, because they want to get away from it all.
Well,
so eventually, we're going to have our east and western seaboard states fall into total disrepair, total decay, and they'll be shaking us down for even more money.
Well, and Scoop, you left out Memphis there, and I tell you, you know, it's what I always say, thanks to Keith for planting this one in my ear, you can't have a first world nation with the third world population. If you don't believe it, go into Memphis. Go into the inner city of Memphis, Tennessee, and you'll see what third world living is all about right here in this once first world nation. But Scoop, I got one more thing for you. I know we're starting to run low on time. If you want to see a glimpse into what the future of America looks like, go to any Walmart in an inner city area or near a suburban area, or a Chuck E. Cheese anywhere. And what is going on with you, man? I'm trying to wean you off Chuck E. Cheese. I get a text message 3 or 4 times a week from Scoop, Keith. He's at Chuck E. Cheese. Scoop, you have gone behind enemy lines, if anyone has, by going into there. Your service in the military can't compare to the danger you're putting yourself in by going to a Chuck E. Cheese. What are you seeing down there in the trenches at Chuck E. Cheese lately?
Well, first off, people who have those stickers, they say coexist and tolerance, they don't go to Chuck E. Cheese, first and foremost. Secondly, the people that go to the Chuck E. Cheese, I live in a relatively well-to-do neighborhood. Don't ask me how I'm able to live there because, you know, more or less I bought a fixer-upper. But anyways, I go in there, and it is just pure pandemonium. People don't know how to behave. I got to watch my daughter like a hawk because people are taking her tokens, taking her tickets. My daughter's playing this little kiddie basketball game, and this other girl comes up and starts shooting baskets. I said, what are you doing? Get out of here. And last week, my wife, she was frustrated because my wife, daughter wanted to jump on a game or jump on one of those little kiddie rides, and people wouldn't take their turns. And it's everywhere. And on top of that, the people who work there, they're half brain dead because the garbage is overflowing. And then the patrons, after you're done, you're supposed to, you know, pick up your tray and your plates and put them in the trash, but they don't. And now, you know, Chuck E. Cheese is getting worse every time I go there. And, we bring our daughter to this place called Gymboree. It costs a fortune to go there. But guess what? The place is spotless. People there have money, except for the stay in the family. And it's safe, and it's structured, and it's educational. So I'm telling my wife, let's go to Gymboree and not Chuck E. Cheese. But we go back and forth. Today we went to both places. I had fun at Gymboree. My wife had fun at Chuck E. Cheese after she got done taking care of some business at the place next door to Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, Peter, this is Keith. I would suggest that you assiduously avoid any all-you-can-eat establishments or to have a one fixed price for all-you-can-eat. When people have to pay for everything that they get, you'll see that the riffraff gets sorted out in a hurry. We're going to have a break now. Another word from our sponsors, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.